Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Take note that today's shiur begins three lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Zayin Omid Beis. Before we begin the shiur, three lines from the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, we glance at the side, at one of our features of the marked Gemaras, the Shas Oizer, which we call the Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written, Baal Sheomar Boloshein Chochom Mutarloch, a husband in attempting to annul his wife's vows, he uses the text of a sage, a Torah scholar, who is also empowered to annul vows, using the expression mutarloch. That's characteristic of the Torah sage in his annulment of vows. However, here we're talking about a husband that uses his, the Chochom's text, and vice versa. Chochom sheomar b'loshen baal, mufarloch. What is the result? Now the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Chacham Sheomar Beloshon Baal, a sage who is annulling a vow, but he uses the language of a husband. Ubaal Sheomar Beloshon Chacham, or a husband that uses the language of a sage. The husband language is Mufarloch, the sage version is Mutarloch. So either way, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo Omar Klum. It's ineffective. It's an ineffective annulment. Desanya. And this is based on the following Tanaic source. Zehadovar. This is a posuk that's quoted in Bamidbar, Perik Lamed, Posuk Beis. When we get to the, you'll see on Daf Ayin Ches Omer Aleph at the top, we've added to the side of the Gemara the relevant psukim. In the meantime, the posuk says in Bamidbar, which is the topic that deals with vows, and we learn from this term, Zehadovar Chocham, HaChocham Matir, V'ein Baal Matir. A Chocham is able to annul using the expression Matir or Hutarloch, which a Baal, a husband, is not allowed or not able to do. Shiachol, this word Shiachol indicates, I would have thought otherwise without the Pasuk. What would I have thought? Uma Chochom She'ein Mefer Matir, a sage who doesn't have the power of Hafora, which we haven't given a source for that yet, but a sage does not have the power of Hafora. Matir, Baal Shemefer Einodin Shematir, a Baal which has the power of Hafora, certainly he should be able to be Matir. Talmud Lomar, we continue at the top of Ayin Ches Omer Aleph. Therefore, the Torah says, Zeh HaDovar, the Posuk, which is a Posuk indicating limitation. It's coming to exclude what I would have thought otherwise. Namely, I would have thought, through the logic we presented, that a Baal who can mefer certainly can be matir. So we've learned from this, Zehadover Chocham Matir V'ein Baal Matir. Only a Chocham is vested with that power of being matir, using that expression, and not a husband. Tanya Idoch. We have another source, and the source begins also with a quote from using this phrase Zehadovar, and we should draw your attention before we go through the entire source. Two psukim we're going to be referred to. One is the pasuk we already cited that you can see on the side of our marked Gemaras in the upper corner of the page we've added, by Midbar Lamed Posuk Beis, which deals with Nedarim, it says there, Vayedaber Moshe el Roshe Hamatos Livnei Yisrael Lemor, Ze Hadover Asher Tzivo Hashem, and Posuk Gimel says, Ish Ki Yidor Neder, etc., Lo Yachel Devaro. So you can see that in Pasuk Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing the Rosh Hamatos, the heads of the tribes, and he tells them, Zeh HaDover, this is the matter that Hashem has commanded. And Pasuk Gimel shows that you're dealing with the topic of vows. There's another Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yudzayin Pasuk Beis, which deals with the topic of Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz is a reference to the prohibition of sacrificing and offering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, or in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, outside of the Mishkan. So the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Beis, Daber El Aroin, Ve'el Bonav. Do you notice that we're reading from the side of the Gemara, where we've included the pot that we've written in the Psukim. It says, Daber El Aroin, Ve'el Bonav, Ve'el Kol B'nei Yisrael, V'yamarto Aleihem, Zeh HaDavor Asher Tzivo Hashem Lemor. Noticing again the expression, Zeh HaDavor. And Pasuk Gimel goes on to describe the topic, Ish Ish Mi Beis Yisrael, Shir Yishchat Shor Kesef, Oyeiz B'machne, Oyashir Yishchat Michutz L'machane, which deals with the topic of Shchutei Chutz, slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Psukim go on to say, Pasuk Dalid, we've also included on the side, Vel Pesach Omoid Lo Hevio Lakriv Korban Hashem Lifnei Mishkan Hashem V'nichros Ha'ishahu. The Pasuk Dalid tells us that if one does not bring the sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, so he is guilty of Kores, of the Kores punishment. Now we turn to the source at the top of Ayin Chesom Aleph, the end of the line, first line, Tanya Idoch. And here we have another Tanaic source, Zeh HaDovar, Baal Mefer V'ein Chacham Mefer. Similar to the previous source, here we have a limitation expression. And from this we learn that a husband has the power of hafora, a chacham is not mefir. And up till now we've been assuming that this has to do with the text or the expression that each one uses in annulling vows. So a husband uses the hafora expression, but not a chacham. Sheyachol. Without the posuk, I would have thought, Uma Baal Shein Matir Mefir, a husband that doesn't have the power of being Matir. He has the power of Hafora, Chacham She Matir, a Chacham who has the power of being Matir, Eino Din She Mefir, then all the more so, he should be able to be Mefir. Talmud Lomar Ze HaDovar, Baal Mefir, V'ein Chacham Mefir. So from here we see the teaching that we saw before in the name of Rabbi Yochanan at the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the point at which we began today's shiur, that each individual, the Chacham and the Baal, have their own unique expressions of vow annulment. There are other technical differences between Hafora and Hatara, but that is not something that we have to preoccupy ourselves with right now. The Tanakh source goes on to say, Ne'mar kan zeh hadover, v'ne'mar lahalon zeh hadover b'shchutei chutz. We already read the psukim, so you understand where this is coming from. We have in the topic of Hatoras Nidorim, Zeh HaDover, Bamidbor Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, and in Vayikra Yud Zayin Pasuk Beis, which deals with Shchutei Chutz, the expression Zeh HaDover. The diamond highlights the Gzeirah Shavah, and on the side of the under the Nosei Mivne heading, Gzeirah Shavah Zeh HaDover, Bein Parshas Nidorim, LeParshas Shchutei Chutz. So what do we learn from this word comparison? Ma, we continue with the text, Ma b'shkutei chutz, Aaron uvonov v'chol Yisrael. Just like in the case of shkutei chutz, they were spelled out. They were enumerated. Aaron and his children. His children is another two sons, Elozer and Isomar. And it also says in the pasuk, Kol Yisrael. So af parshis nedorim, so too with regard to vows, understand Aaron uvonov v'chol Yisrael. Now this is very, very obscure. What in the world do? What's the significance of these names in these particular topics? The Gemara will deal with that later. What else? Uma kan and ma and what that which you find here by nedorim, roshei hamatos. Aflahalon Roshe Hamatos. So through the Gzera Shava, we learn it's a two-directional Gzera Shava. From Shchutei Chutz, we take the reference that you found in Vayikra to Aaron, Bon of Kol Yisrael, and you transfer that to Nedorim. And Roshe Hamatos, which you find by Nedorim in Bamidbar Lamed, you transfer that to Shchutei Chutz. As we go on in the Gemara, we will learn the explanation of this very obscure Tanaic source. So we have some highlight markings to enable you to see what is being focused on at each point. On the side of the Gemara, we have Roman numerals 1 and 2 that represent two gishot, two approaches to the matter at hand, which we'll see more clearly in the Gemara. The double underline highlights the expression, or we'll say the reference to Roshei Hamatos and the reference to Ze Hadavar. Each one of them, the Roshei Hamatos, what is the point of having that Gzeira Shava to Nedorim from Shchutei Chutz? And likewise, the issue of Roshei Hamatos. What's the reason for that? So we have a question regarding the purpose of the Gzeira Shava. We have to deal with Aaron Ubonov, and we have to deal with Roshei Hamatos, namely the Gzeira Shava aspect. And we're also going to be focusing on the expression Ze Hadovar that's written by Nedorim. What is it doing? What's its limitation? What's it for? And Ze Hadovar that you have by Shchutei Chutz. What is its limitation? What is it excluding? We note on the side the house marking that we'll see, Hadgoshas Parshas Nedorim Ushchutei Chutz. This highlights the respective topics that will be topics that were cited. We also note on the side, Halochas Shenilmadu Migzera Shavazu. Here we're informing you ahead of time what halochas are learned through the Gezera Shava. Well, one halacha is Lahachshir Shloisha Hedyotis Lahatoras Nedorim. Through the Gzera Shava of Aaron Uvonov, we know that three people were referred to in the Pasuk, and they appeared in the case of Shchutei Chutz. And we, through the Gzera Shava, we apply that to Hatoras Nedorim. Namely, three are enough. Three is the number, if you're using commoners, for the annulment of vows. The term Kol Yisrael in the Pasuk by Shchutei Chutz, we also benefit from that because that indicates that they don't have to be experts. Another halacha that's learned through the Gzeira Shava, if you recall, we learned from Nedorim to the topic of sacrifices. We learned a Gezer Shava from nedarim to sacrifices. What do we learn from that? What is revealed by that gezeira shava? So we will learn that sheyesh she'ela b'kodshim. That means if one dedicates or one sanctifies something as a sacrifice, he can reverse his sanctification through she'ela, just like we've seen so many times in our recent shiurim, she'ela l'chacham, the approaching of a sage for the annulment of a vow. Likewise, a sanctification of an animal is a type of vow, and that sanctification also lends itself or is subject to annulment, if so desired. And we learn that from this Gzeira Shava, from the fact that the topic of Nidorim, which has annulment, is here to shed light on the topic of sacrifices, in order to tell me that by sacrifices also you have annulment, the idea of reversal of the sanctification that we just described. So now let's go through the Gemara very systematically, point by point. Not we continue now, but Parshas Nedorim Lamai Hilchasa. The last point of the Tanaic source was that you have in Parshas, I should say, that not the last point, but the second to last point, if you will. We said, just like by Shchutei Chutz, you have Aaron Uvanov V'chol Yisrael, so too by Nidorim, you have Aaron Uvanov V'chol Yisrael. So here the Gemara is asking, what's the value? What do we learn from that Gezer Shava? So that's Beparshas Nidorim Lamai Hilchisa. Hilchisa, a reference to the oral tradition, to the Gzeira Shava word comparison method of exegesis. So what is the value in saying that by Parshas Nedorim we are also to understand Aaron Uvonov V'chol Yisrael? Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lahachshir Shloisha Hedyotos. Just like by Parshas Shchutei Chutz you see the reference to three individuals, Aaron and his two sons, so too by Nedorim, three commoners are capable, are licensed to absolve a vow. V'ho roshei hamatos k'siv. The Gemara asks, how can you say hedyotos when the posuk in the context of Nedorim itself says roshei matos, the heads of the tribes, which would imply experts? Omar Rav Chista Vitem Rav Yochanan B'yochid Mumche. The concept of expertise is manifest when you're dealing with a single individual. If a single individual is going to be employed for the annulment of a vow, so he would have to be a Mumche, an expert, as is alluded to or as is inferred by the term Roshei Hamatos, the heads of the tribes. They were scholars, they were experts. So just to review, the Gezeira Shava from Shchutei Chutz, Aaron Uvonov, V'chol Yisrael, enables me to conclude that three commoners are able to annul a vow. If you want to focus on the Parsha of Nedarim itself, where it says Roshei Hamatos, that informs us that a single individual can rescind a vow, provided he is an expert. We continue. Roshei Hamatos b'shchutei chutz l'may hilchasa. The reference to Roshei Hamatos, which is found by Nedorim, but through the Gzeira Shava was transferred to Shchutei Chutz. For what purpose was that? What do we learn from that Gzeira Shava from Nedorim? Omar of Sheshes, Lomar Sheyesh She'ela Behekdesh. It informs me that a vow, that something sanctified can be rescinded, can be reversed. The Gemara asks, L'Bei Shammai, D'Yomar Ein She'ela Behekdesh. Bei Shammai doesn't hold from this concept that Hekdesh can be reversed. So Beishamim doesn't hold from that concept. Roshei Hamatos Dixiv Beshchutei Chutz L'may Hilchasa. According to Beishamai, what's the purpose of transferring Nidorim information to Shchutei Chutz? The term Roshei Hamatos is a reference to something that's Nidorim related to Shchutei Chutz. What's the point if you Beishamai don't hold from the concept of She'elah B'Hekdesh, the reversal of Hekdesh, like the annulment of a vow? So then what's the purpose of learning Shchutei Chutz what's the purpose of learning from the Dorim to Shchutei Chutz? The Gemara answers very simply, Beis Shammai les lehu gzeiro shava. They don't have as their Torah tradition, as their oral law tradition, this gzeiro shava. And with that having been said, so Roshei Hamatos does not appear in the context of Shchutei Chutz. Namely, the idea or the concepts of Nidorim don't apply to Shchutei Chutz. The Gemara continues, Zeh HaDovor B'Parshas Nidorim L'may K'siv. Here we're focusing not on the oral tradition so much as what is the point of Zeh HaDovor. Zeh HaDovor is a limiting expression. What does it teach me when it comes to Nidorim? What's the limitation? Answer, Loimar, it tells me, Chochom Matir ve'ein Baal Matir, Baal Mefer ve'ein Chochom Mefer. Now, the truth is that these last two, three lines is the whole reason this discussion has been cited. We continue. Ze hadavar b'shchutei chutz l'may k'siv. Again, the emphasis is on not the oral tradition, but rather the scriptural limitation. What does the Torah want to exclude when it says ze hadavar, which is, we said, a limitation expression in the context of shchutei chutz? Answer, Lomar, the revelation is that al hashchita chayav v'ein chayav al hamalika. The prohibition of sacrificing things outside the Beis HaMikdash will apply to the slaughtering of animals as opposed to birds. The slaughtering of animals that done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, slaughtering of sacrificial animals, would be the violation referred to in the Pasuk. And what's excluded? Malika. Malika is the method in which bird sacrifices were killed. It's not through Shchita, which is severing the neck organs using a knife, but rather Malika, which is a different process of killing the bird. We don't have to get into details, but if one were to take a sacrificial bird and do Malika to it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be guilty of this offense of Shchutei Chutz. The Gemara continues with a question posed to Beis Shammai. Now, we mentioned in passing that Beis Shammai does not have a Gezeirah Shava. One of the, we'll say, benefits of the Gezeirah Shava that we saw earlier was the limud from Shchutei Chutz to Nidorim of Aaron, Uvon, and V'chol Yisrael, from which we learned the three hedyotos. Elo l'Beis Shammai, who doesn't hold from the Gezeirah Shava, l'hachshir gimel hedyotos min olon, where does he learn that three commoners are licensed to annul vows? The number was hinted to before by Aaron Uvonov, and Aaron Uvonov was written by Shchutei Chutz. We were able before Beis Shammai to use the Gzeirah Shava to transfer that to Nidorim, but Beis Shammai doesn't have that mechanism. So what is the source of three hedyotas for Beis Shammai? Answer, and here we have a long answer, and we're going to it takes a while to develop, but we'll see along the way where Beis Shammai is going to learn Gimel Hedyotas for HaTorahs Nedarim. The Gemara answers, Nafka Lehu Midrav Asi Bar Noson. He learns it from Avrav Asi Bar Noson's teaching. He will appear on the, we've underlined his name on the first of the wide lines of the Gemara, so we'll get back to his name later. So we learn from Rav Asi, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayadaber Moishes Moyadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael, Vehotanya, and we have a Braisa, Rav Yossi Haglili Omer, and here we're going to have something extremely obscure, but once again, we'll wait for the Gemara to elucidate. Rav Yossi Haglili Omer, Moyadei Nemru Veloi Nemra Shabbos Bracious Imohem. Shabbos Bracious is a reference to the weekly occurrence of Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Bracious, the Mefarshim point out, because holidays, Mo'adim, are holidays. Holidays are also referred to by the term Shabbos. So in order to distinguish the weekly occurrence of Shabbos from holidays, the Torah refers to the weekly Shabbos as Shabbos Bracious. Shabbos, which commemorates Bracious as the beginning of the Torah, Bracious Borelukinus Yishlaes Haaretz, the creation. Every week we will say we recognize and we commemorate the fact that the Almighty is the creator of the world. Hence the term Shabbos Bracious. So the source is telling us something that I said is obscure. It says that the Torah speaks about the holidays and it doesn't speak about Shabbos together with them. Benazai Oimer, Moyade Nemru, Velo Nemro, Velo Nemar Parshas Nidorim Imohem. Holidays are spoken about in the Torah, but vows are not spoken about with the holidays. That's a literal translation of the source, and we're going to find this to be very perplexing. Rav Asi Bar Noson Kashile Hamasnisa. Rav Asi Bar Noson had difficulty with this Tanaic source, and we'll show you later what the difficulty is. Also, Lenardo Lekam Rav Sheshes Vlashke. Rav Asi visited Nahardo in trying to find Rav Sheshes and didn't find him there. Also, Basri Lemuza, he followed him to Mechuza, and that's where he met up with Rav Sheshes. Omar Le, Rav Asi Bar Noson asks, this is, of course, a quote from the source we just saw, which indicated that in the Torah, it speaks about the holidays, and it doesn't speak about Shabbos together with them. But how can you say that it doesn't speak about Shabbos when you open the Torah and you read the section in the Torah that deals with the holidays? It mentions Shabbos together with them. Rashi gives you the Pasuk background for these things. We continue in the source. Vesu, another difficulty Rav Asi has. The point number two in the source. Mayadei Hashem Nemru Velo Nemru Parshas Nedarim Imohem. V'hom Misitra. Misitra means next to it, by its side. V'hom Misitra Ksiva means as follows. In the Torah, at the end of Parshas Pinchas, which is toward the end of the book of Bamidbar. At the end of Parshas Pinchas, there are many psukim dedicated to the holidays. And right after that, when you finish Pinchas, the next parsha you lead into is Parshas Matos. Parshas Matos is Bamidbar Lamed that we've been citing quite often, which deals with vows. So how can Ben Azai in this source say that the holidays are spoken about, but the issue of vows is not presented along with them? That's quite untrue. Parshas, right after the Parsha of the holidays in Parshas Pinchas, the Torah goes right into the Parsha of vows. Amalei Hachi Kotoni. So Rav Sheshes tells him, thusly is to be understood the source. The source is to be understood thusly. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Moyadei Hashem Srichin Kiddush Beis Din Shabbos Breishis Ein Tzricha Kiddush Basin. As far as point one is concerned, the holidays are distinguished from Shabbos insofar as the holidays require court sanctification. What we mean by that is, we'll use a very simple example. The holiday of Pesach comes out in the middle of Nisan. How do you know when the 15th of Nisan is to arrive? We'll say it very simply. You count from the 1st of Nisan 2 weeks, and there you go. You're at 15th of Nisan. But how do you know when the beginning of Nisan takes place? So that's what we're telling you here. That's Kiddush Basin, based on the testimony of witnesses concerning the sighting of the new lunar phase. Upon their witness testimony, Basin declares it to be a new month. So, holidays are dependent on Kiddush Basin, but Shabbos Breishis means and the weekly appearance of Shabbos doesn't need any formal sanctification on the part of the court. Every week, when Shabbos comes, you observe Shabbos without any court sanctification. The Rosh explains on the very end of the narrow lines of the Rosh commentary. It says, Ein Tzricha Kiddush Basin, Shikachu Basin Yom Rishon. Basin doesn't have to sanctify Sunday as the beginning of the week in order for you to then count 7 days forward to get to Shabbos last, to Shabbos Yom Shvi. Uksiv Moyade Hashem Yisera Limute Shabbos Mikidush Basin. The Torah has an extra expression, and that's what we've been alluding to all the way, all the time, when we say Moade Hashem is an extra expression that differentiates between the holidays that do require Kiddush Beis Din and the appearance of Moade Hashem, extra time in the Torah, says only Moade Hashem requires Kiddush Beis Din and not Shabbos Breishis, not the weekly Shabbos. The second point, we continue in the Gemara. Moade Hashem tzrichin mumche, v'ein parshis nedarim tzrichin mumche. Afilu beizdin hedyotos. Notice we've dashed underlined this because this is the reason we brought this whole long answer in. Don't forget, we asked according to Beis Shammai, how does he know that three hedyotos are acceptable? So the answer to that is from the fact that from the expression Moyade Hashem, which is an exclusionary point, as we already explained, that only Moyade Hashem, they require Beis Din, which represents experts, but not Parshas Nedarim. Parshas Nedarim means the annulment of vows does not require experts. What is sufficient? Have three commoners is sufficient. That's Beis Din Hedyotos. The Gemara asks, well, the same question as we asked before, before we got to Beis Shammai, the same question is asked on Beis Shammai, Parshas Nedarim Roshi Hamatis Ksiv. Then in Parshas Nedarim, when you're dealing with vows, in Bamidbor Perek Lamed, it says Roshei Hamatos, the heads of the tribes, and they were experts. Om Rav Chista, Vitemor Rav Yochanan, some versions have Rav Yochanan, answering B'yochid Mumche. The concept of having expertise by vow annulment, that's true if you're using a singular individual for the annulment, a chocham. You need to have an expert. But if you're going to use three people, they don't have to be experts. Three commoners are sufficient. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. We also have a rare marking, the firebox marking, which highlights either a name or a sheet, in this case, a name that his halacha is going to preoccupy the Gemara for quite a long time. Before we get into the text, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, Hashoyseit al menas lemekad. A husband hears his wife's vow, remains silent, with the intention not of substantiating her vow, but rather lemekad. Mekad literally means to infuriate, but it means he wants her to feel the pain of her vow before he, let's say, expresses his objection to the vow. He wants her to feel the pain of the vow. So it's silence, but it's not a silence of approval. Quite the contrary. According to Rabbi Chanina, the husband can be mefer even 10 days later. The idea that we've seen often in this perek, that based on the Torah, that a husband has only till the end of the day to annul vows, that is true if he hears the vow and remains silent, and his silence is not one of objection. So then Rabbi Chanina will tell you, if he's being silent and he's not saying anything, well, by sundown he can't now annul it. This, everything we've said in the last couple of minutes is within the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Chanina. By the end of this sugya, you're going to see that his halacha is not accepted. And you'll notice triangles that appear, and they are explained under the Mivne heading. You see, we've written on the side, Kushos al Rabbi Chanina. These are challenges, and if you do what we often recommend doing, the bird's eye view of the sugya, you'll notice there are five challenges till the end of the perek, to the lower part of Ayin Tesom and Aleph. Now the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Chanina, Hashoyseik Amanas Lemekat. A husband who remains silent, not in order to be Mekayim, to substantiate her vow, but he does so in order to chastise her, so that she shouldn't be a regular in vowing. Let her feel the pain of her vow beforehand. So a husband who remains silent in order lemekat, then mefra filu mikan v'adasri yomim, he can annul the vow even 10 days later. Mosiv Rava. Rava raises a challenge from the following source. Amos ayomru meis habal nisroik nerishus la'av. Again, these are topics that we've seen in the past. When was it said that with the death of the husband, an orus, you have an orus as a husband at the first stage of marriage who is able to annul his wife's vows in conjunction or in partnership with her father? So amongst the rules, we learned that if the husband dies, so his powers of annulment are transferred to her father. That's Nisroikna Rishus Lav. When do we say that? Bizman Shelo Shoma Habal. That's when the husband didn't hear the vow. O Sheshoma Vishasak, we heard the vow and remained silent. O Sheshoma Vahofer Umeis Bo Bayom. Or he heard the vow, he annulled, and he died that very day. So in any one of those cases, then the whatever powers of annulment that the husband had are transferred to the father of the girl. Aval Shama Vakim. However, if the husband heard and he substantiated the wife's vow, O Sheshama Vishosak, Umeis Biyoim Shel Achrov, or he heard it, remained silent, and then died the next day, Ein Yochalofir, the vow cannot be annulled. The father can't annul the vow. Once a husband substantiates the wife's vow, so the father, though they work in partnership, the father can no longer annul it. Now the last point, well, you can see we've dashed underlined key words, which describe the husband having heard it and remained silent. That's the key word is vishasak, he remained silent, and died the next day. My love, the Gemara goes on, b'shosek amanasa mekad. It says, the source says, husband heard it and remained silent. Doesn't qualify the silence. It means even the silence of wrath, of opposition, if you will, it doesn't make a difference. He cannot mefer the next day. No, that's not the correct understanding. Rather, b'shosek amanas l'kayim. The source described a husband who remained silent out of approval. He was quiet, he was happy, he was in approval of his wife's vow. Well, ihachi, if that's how you're going to explain the word v'shosak, then hainu oi shama v'kiyim. But the very same source said shama v'kiyim. Why the redundancy? So you can't tell me that shosik means it was a silence with the intention of substantiation. The Gemara answers, you're right on that point. Elo b'shosek stam. He remained silent without any specific decision in mind. So that situation is such that if he remains silent out of indifference, by the next day he can't be mefer anymore. However, silence with the intention of lemekat, to infuriate, that is different. He is able to be mefer even 10 days later, as Rabbi Hanina said. Okay, so triangle one, Rava's attempted question on him was ultimately rebuffed, was ultimately answered. Mosif Rav Chisda, number two, he raises an objection to Rabbi Hanino's teaching from the following source. Choymer b'hokem mi'b'hofer u'b'hofer mi'b'hokem. There are stringencies and uniquenesses that apply to hakoma, substantiation of vows, that you don't find by annulment. And likewise, uniqueness and stringency that you find by hafora, that you don't find by hakoma, by substantiation. And we now go over these points. Choymer b'hokem, the stringency that you find by substantiation of vows. We continue at the top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. Shehashtika mekayemes vein shtika mevateles. Silence is capable of establishing the vow. Silence on the part of the husband is capable of establishing the wife's vow. In other words, of a woman who had vowed and the husband remained silent. Through that, the vow is established. The ein shtika mevateles. However, silence cannot result in the vow being undone, being annulled. Kiyem belibo, kiyem hafer belibo, eno mufar. If a person, if a husband substantiates the wife's vow in his heart, that is effective. Annulment in his heart, that's not effective. Kiyem ein yochol hafer. Hafer ein yochol l'kayem. Once there is a formal substantiation, it cannot be annulled. And if it's annulled, it can't be substantiated. There are a number of details in this source, but we want to focus on just one point. Kotoni, it said in this source, shashtika mekayemes. Silence substantiates vows, and that would imply it can no longer be undone. It can no longer be annulled. My love, b'shosek amanas lemekat. The source was unqualified, just said silence, all silence, even silence to infuriate. Nevertheless, he loses his chance of being mefer. That's mekayemes, it substantiates. So silence, almanas lemekat, substantiates vows. That is contrary to Rabbi Hanina. No, there's more answers, that's not the right understanding. The shtika mekayemes referred to in this source is b'shoisek amanas l'kayim. It's a silence with the intention of substantiating. Then we ask, well, then we have a problem of redundancy again. Kiyem belibo, kiyem. It says if he substantiates her vow in his heart, it's substantiated. It becomes a solidified vow. So how can you say that shtika is shtika of approval? So my answer is, you're right. Elo b'shoisek stam. He's silent with indifference. But if he were silent, Almanas Lemekat, he would still, yes, be able to annul the vow, as Rabbi Chanina taught. You can see we have a bracketed section, and the note that we have on the side, if you skip the brackets momentarily, you'll see the continued series of questions raised against Rabbi Chanina. So within the brackets, though, the Gemara deals with a detail that we alluded to before, we mentioned before in the source. So that having been said, let's read through the bracketed section. Ashkechon chomer b'hakei mibafer. We demonstrated the severity, the strength that you find by hakoma that you don't find by hafara, namely silence, we said, is substantiates, but silence cannot annul. So there's a strength of silence is manifest in the case of substantiation, not in annulment. Now, the same source said that there was a chumra by hafora over hakoma. So, behofer be behokim in olam. Where do you see a stringency by hafora that you don't find by hakoma? Omar ri. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, nisholin ala hakem ve'en nisholin ala hafer. If a husband substantiates his wife's vow, it can be reversed through approaching a chacham and being shoyel on the hakoma. Shoyel means the seeking of annulment of his hakoma. However, when a husband annuls the wife's vow, that annulment is not reversed, cannot be reversed. Mosiv Rav Kahana. We're going to present the Tanaic source, and let's note ahead of time an interesting phenomenon in this Gemara. After the Tanaic source, you can see we've highlighted using a crown shape the term Tiyufta. Tiyufta means a rejection. On the side, under the Mivne heading, you can see we've noted this crown shape, and we've written Havlotas Tiyufta. We've highlighted Tiyufta He'ora. I want to point something out. That Kushios 3 through 5, the questions, the objections that are numbered 3, 4, and 5, Nisharos Ketiyufta L'Rabbi Chanina, they remain as challenges, as refutations to Rabbi Chanina. So even though in attempts number 1 and 2 to ask on him, he was able to rebuff the attack, not so when it comes to 3, 4, and 5. The Gemara, Mosiv Rav Kahana, V'im Hacharesh Yacharish Lo Isha V'chulei. The pasuk appears in the context of a husband who hears his wife's vow and remains silent. B'shoisek Almanas Lameka Hakosav Medaber. This is describing a husband who remains silent in order to infuriate the wife, and it says. In this pasuk, it says Vehekim is kol nidareha, that her vows through his silence, her vows are substantiated. You're saying that this expression Vehim hachresh yachresh is a reference to silence for mekat purposes. Who says maybe it's silence with substantiation intention? Well, that's not so. Kishu Omer ki echrish lo, a citation of another pasuk ki echrish lo. Harei b'shoyzeg amanas l'kayim akosav medaber. That pasuk deals with silence with substantiation intention. Ha amen mekayim imachrish da yachrish lo isha. So what am I going to do with these? The reference here to silence b'shoyzeg amanas l'mekat hakosav medaber. Silence with with the intent of infuriating her is what the pasuk is talking about, and even then her vow is substantiated through his silence. Tifta, well, that would be then a refutation of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said that Shoysik al Manasa Meikat is not a substantiation of the vow. If it were, how could he say that 10 days later he could annul it? Once a vow is substantiated, it can't be annulled through a husband. The Gemara asks, V'loikim ha b'shoysek amanas l'kayim ha b'shoysek stam. Why don't we rebuff this question the way we've done so in approaches 1 and 2 before, by saying the double reference to silence can be accounted for a silence of substantiation intention and a silence of indifference. But Amanas Lameka, he could still, yes, annul it. In other words, that does not constitute a hakoma. Why don't we say this in rebuffing the question? The Gemara answers, Kroi Yaseiri Ksivi. And we look in the Ran, toward the end of the narrow line, third to last narrow line, Ran says, Kroi Yaseiri Ksivi, Tlosa Kroi Ksivi. There are three references. Hachresh Yachresh Tre, Ki Echresh Lo Ha Tlosa. Three references to silence. How do you account for all the different kinds of silence? The only way to do so is to include silence even lameikat, even with that intention, and still the Torah says the vow of the wife is substantiated. He didn't annul it. Mosiv Rav, we continue in the Gemara with the fourth question. The student of Talmud probably is asking himself, once you've refuted a particular opinion, why do you have to continue with more refutations? So the Ran is sensitive to this question. And you see the Ran on the first wide line. He says on the third, he says, Afa gavdi itoisiv chada zimna, even though Rabbi Chanina was already rejected once, we ask more questions on Ibn Afkamina. The practical outcome of the additional refutations is the Mashchina Piruka by Hidaliel Katihav Yahach Tiufte. Even if you find a response, a defense for the earlier question, we will still be left with these rejections. So let's continue. Mosiv Rava. Nodra im chashecha, mefilo ad shelo chashecha. A woman who vowed before nightfall, the husband can annul it, provided he does so before nightfall. Shim lo hofer, v'choshecha, ein yochel hofer. If he doesn't annul the vow and nightfall sets in, he can no longer annul. The Gemara asks, why do you say that if he doesn't annul? If he doesn't annul, so obviously he's silent. So if we accept Rabbi Chanina as true, why does this source say that if he doesn't annul before sundown, he can no longer annul? Why not simply view him as someone who was silent, who didn't annul because of displeasure, because he wanted to infuriate her? But yet that's not an option. The source says, if he doesn't formally annul before sundown, that's it. Indicating that even if he is silent out of lemeikat reasons to infuriate her, that doesn't help. And he loses his ability to be mefer. Tiufta, that's a refutation of Rabbi Chanina. Mosiv Ravashi. Ravashi cites the following source. Yodea ani shiesh nedarim aval eini yodea shiesh mefirin. A man says, I know that there's a concept of vows, but I don't know that there's a concept of a husband being able to annul the vow. Yofer. If that took place and we tell him, you know, you could be mefer, so he is able, he's allowed to be mefer. Yodea ani shiesh mefirin aval eini yodea sheze neder. If a man says, I know that there's a concept of vows being annulled by husbands, I just didn't realize that this, whatever she said, constitutes a vow. As Rashi says, I didn't realize that this is a neder of significance that needs to be annulled. If that's what a person says, Rabbi Meir, Omer lo yofer. Meir says, you lost your chance to be mefer. For Chachamim Omer yofer, the Chachamim say he's allowed to be mefer. But focusing on Rabbi Meir, now notice we dashed underline the expression lo yofer. V'amai, if Rabbi Chanina is correct, why not view this guy who obviously, well, he wasn't Mefer, but Leve Kishesik Amanas Lamekat. Why don't we view him as someone who remained silent for Lamekat purposes? This guy is not interested. He's not interested in the vow. He just didn't realize that it's significant, that it has sufficient significance to warrant annulment. He's not happy with the vow. He just didn't bother annulling it. So if Rabbi Chanina is correct, why would Rabbi Meir say lo yofer? We could look together at the Ran, four lines from the end of the Ran commentary in this parak. He says, "V'im isa the shoyseik amanas mekat mefer." If that were so, like Rabbi Chanina says, that silence with the mekat intention is still subject to annulment. Amayom Rabbi Meir lo yofer. Why does Rabbi say he can't annul? His silence here wasn't because he liked the vow. He just didn't realize that he's able to annul it. The Ran points out the ad kan lo pligi rabbonon oled Rabbi Meir le mishum de sviru lehu de lo havia shmiya. Up till this point, the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Meir on a technical point, that a fellow like this, who says, I know that there's the Mefirin, I didn't realize that this needs Hafara, is that considered having heard the vow? But if it's something, if you have a situation that is definitely considered Shmiya, definitely considered having heard the vow, which is a prerequisite, of course, for the husband to be Mefer, so modu le de lo yofer, the Rabbanon would have agreed with Rabbi Meir that you can no longer be mefer. Elavadai mashma de shoysek amnas le mekat lo motzi mefer. So therefore, we would conclude, according to all opinions, that a person who remains silent, even though his intention was to infuriate her, he still cannot be mefer. Hilkoch naktina. Therefore, we hold. The shoyseg amanas lemekat kistam. One who's silent with mekat intention is like the person who remains silent with out of indifference. V'lo motzi mefer elo biyom shmiya bovad. He cannot be mefer unless it's within the same day that he heard it. The shoyseg amanas lekayim la'alter shuv eino yochol lahafer filu bo bayom. One who is silent with the intention of substantiating the vow, then it's substantiated immediately, and he cannot be mefer even within the same day. So what the Ran lays out for us are all three categories of shtika: shtika amanas lemekat, shtika amanas lekayim, and in the middle the shtika of stam, of indifference. So we go back to the Gemara text. And as we saw, Rabbi Meir said, a man who says, I know there's such a thing as hafara, I just didn't realize that this needed hafara, Rabbi Meir says he can't be mefer anymore. And we asked if Rabbi Chanina is correct, so why can't we just view him as shoysek amanas lemekat? And you see that we don't. We said, lo yofer, tiyufta. This is a refutation of Rabbi Chanina, who said he could still be mefer. Before we conclude, of course, you can all see that we've concluded the 10th parak of Nedarim, but before we conclude our shiur, let us simply remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.